I'd like to call to order the November meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. I'd like to recognize at this time Mr. D.T. Hobby, Vice Principal at Robertsville Middle School, who will tell us about our program to start off our meeting.
Good evening. On the behalf of Robertsville Middle School, I would like to introduce our amazing librarian, Mr. Scott Smith, his friend Fluffy, and our WRAM staff. They take care of our morning announcements every morning.
Okay, as soon as our staff gets up here, we will lead the pledge. So.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like to share just a little bit of information about WRAM. We are in charge of morning announcements each and every day at Robertsville Middle School. The program actually started under the amazing leadership of former principal Tom Hayes and librarian Sue Deal in 1988. It was part of the Channel 1 program to put cable into the schools, and part of that came with the ability to do live broadcasted announcements. So since 1988, we have been on each and every day. The WRAM studio is in the library. Our original system ran through the cable. We have now switched, with the help of Dr. Carnheim, to a digital program. So as it's broadcast through our computer networks to all of the classrooms at Robertsville. We have entirely run by staff students, by student staff members. We have an anchor, an announcer, a student in charge of music, and a camera person, and they rotate from spot to spot each day of the week. Staff members rotate every 9 weeks, so we have a new crew each and every 9 weeks to maximize participation in the program. Each day we have announcements about clubs, events going on at Robertsville, sports, the school menu. Occasionally we'll have live musical performances by students and staff, including Mr. Lay singing some wonderful Christmas carols one year. Amazing. You'd be surprised how much this man sounds like Elvis. Think before you act. That's another holdover from Mr. Lay, one of our mottos to make sure students are behaving appropriately at school. When Mr. Lay was principal, we had jokes, and Fluffy would tell you, some of them were good, and some of them were not so great. But students love those, and Fluffy, our mascot, will tell jokes from time to time as well. Since Mr. Adams has become principal, we have started a new program called Riddle Me This each and every Friday. Students, with the help of Canvas, our online student management program, compete to see who can answer the various riddles that our teachers submit for that. And they win prizes, and the classroom that wins gets like pizzas and donuts and Chick-fil-A, so they're really, really excited, a great way to reinforce curriculum. And always, Mr. Adams, at the end of each and every announcement, reminds students at Robertsville that we are a
praise school.
Let's try that again. A little more enthusiasm. That Robertsville, we are a
great school.
All right, thank you so much.
Can I make one comment about that?
No, you can't, because you misused that one time when the board was visiting
I was going to say they gave a chocolate bar for the class that got the right question correct, and I was in Coach Scott Hinton's class, and we won because of our intelligence.
Because you cheated.
Oh, did we do that?
Having experienced this firsthand for a number of years when I was at Robertsfield, this is really a great addition to the comprehensive things that go on at Robertsfield. And it's amazing in that little room what can come out of that room, and a lot of opportunities, Scott, I think you probably agree, for kids who get plugged into this and get involved, and just adds to their creativity and certainly adds to the spirit and the camaraderie of Robertsfield Middle School. So thank you, and anchors, thank you for what you do, and thank you for keeping that program alive. Appreciate it. Next on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Mr. Eby. All those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next on the agenda, special reports and presentations. First is our good news segment, and Mr. Eby will start off with you.
Thank you, Chairman. My good news comes from Glenwood Elementary School. On September 26, Glenwood dedicated the new Hallie Irwin Memorial Playground, funded by the PTO and also friends of Mr. Irwin. And then also, the third and fourth grade students won the Oak Ridge Fire Department Pizza Party for having the highest rate of return on the Home Escape Plan Contest.
From Willowbrook Elementary, 64 of our Willowbrook students had perfect attendance for the first 8 weeks of school, and that is awesome. Librarian Lisa Meidel was awarded a grant for $2,000 from Scholastic Reading Club and James Patterson. The grant will be used to purchase summer reading books, which is critically important given that we are trying to get our students reading more and the summer program is huge. Woodman Life donated $540 to Willowbrook to support early literacy. And 21 Willowbrook students were honored on September 20th with a Kid of Promise Award for exhibiting the first character trait in our Willowbrook promise, that is honesty. That's good news.
My computer has taken a fit, so I'm going to have to slide over here for a moment. My good news first comes from Woodland. Woodland fourth grade teacher Angie Israel completed her Master of Science curriculum and instruction from Western Governors University on October the 12th. Congratulations to her. And from Jefferson Middle School, the eighth grade from Jefferson Middle School visited the Historical Triangle in Virginia from September 30th to October 3rd for an in-depth look at the places, events, and people that shaped the founding of our nation. This was the 40th anniversary of Jefferson participating in this field trip. Over 90 students and 10 chaperones visited Jamestown, Yorktown, Williamsburg, and Monticello. Art teacher Jim Dotson was recognized by School Arts for his work as the TAA Visual Art Director. And Ms. Marshall.
Yes, my good news comes from Robertsville Middle School and Oak Ridge High School. First from Robertsville Middle School. At Robertsville Middle School, students in Mr. Hines and Mr. Wright's sixth grade math classes have partnered with Ms. Charlotte Bowers, Director of Habitat for Humanity of Anderson County, in an effort to relate math they are learning to the real world. So they are debunking the idea that you don't use this stuff later. So way to go. The students are following through the process of budgeting, designing, and building a home using algebraic formulas, ratios, rates, and geometry to determine costing. These activities are scheduled and designed to coincide with the standards and related pacing guides. So they're doing exercises, real-world exercises, that go along with the pace of what they're learning in preparation for meeting all their state standards. So way to go. Oak Ridge High School. Oak Ridge High School students Wilson Huang and Logan Rombaugh were named semifinalists for the Siemens competition. And I'm about to read all of this. Please do not perceive this as me understanding anything about what I'm describing, because it's way above my understanding. And the engineers on our board will, I'm sure, understand what I'm describing. Their project investigated the use of simple models in simulating flocking behavior in response to the regularly placed external obstacles and forced separation between moving agents. They also designed viable, complex, microscale 3D printed models that would be propelled via resonant frequencies. 300 projects were chosen from approximately 1,600 entries for this honor. So way to go, Wilson and Logan. The Oak Ridge High School AP Physics 1 and 2 and AP Physics C classes attended UT Engineering Day on October 20th. The Physics Cats won both the Quiz Bowl competition and the Robo Range Arena Challenge. Their design challenge team came in second in the Houston We Have a Problem competition. So again, congratulations. Oak Ridge High School students Katie Roach and Asher Chance won first and second place in the art competition for the Congressional Medal of Honor. And Oak Ridge senior Masahiro Kato scored a 36 on the ACT in September. So some terrific successes. Congratulations all the way around.
And that's just some of the good news that's taking place in the Oak Ridge schools. Next, under special reports and presentations, we're going to hear from the principal at Oak Ridge High School, Mr. Martin McDonald, who is going to tell us about a new program that's underway called AVID. Mr. McDonald.
Good evening. How's everybody doing today?
Great.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk a little bit with you about a new initiative that we are undergoing at the high school. And that initiative is called AVID. AVID stands for Advancement Via Individual Determination. And it is a program that is a college readiness program that is aimed at students who currently exist in the middle, what I would consider to be our middle range kids. And as I say all the time, I feel very strongly that our top 30% of our students at Oak Ridge High School compete on a level typically with most high schools' top 5%. We have really outstanding heavyweight students at the top of our academic pyramid. And what we want to do with this program of AVID is we want to try to extend that opportunity to students who demonstrate academic potential but might not have all of the resources and organizational skills to get there on their own. So AVID's mission is to close the achievement gap by preparing all students for college readiness and success in a global society. So the AVID mission is in very strong keeping with our keys for college and career readiness. And one of the ways that we try to do that in our AVID program is we support students on developing core academic skills like organizational skills and note-taking skills and additional study strategies, as well as spending 4 years on building, helping those students navigate the hidden curriculum of getting into college. Many AVID students will be first-time high school graduates in their family or college-bound students in their family. And so when you haven't had those who've had that experience go before you, it can be a very difficult process to navigate, from how to apply and when to apply, to how to do financial aid, to how to make the right decision, to when to start thinking about it, how does GPA play into it, how do you diversify your experiences across the 4 years of high school so that you have the leadership demonstrations and the engagement demonstrations to be able to compete not only for the opportunity to go to post-secondary education, but also to compete for the financial resources to make that a reality. I'm going to kind of go through some of these slides where there's some information that is, I think, more important than others at this point in time. But I did want to share you out some data. This is AVID nationwide data for the class of 2015. Last year, there were 40,000 AVID seniors, a little over 40,000 AVID seniors across the nation. 75% of these did not graduate, 75% of parents did not graduate from a college or university. 74% were on free or reduced lunch. 24% were English language learners. 57% were Hispanic. 15% were white. 14% were black. And you can see on down that chart. But 88% of those AVID students applied to a four-year college or university. 78% were accepted to a four-year college or university. 84% had submitted their FAFSA and met all their FAFSA requirements for financial aid. 61% actually went and attended a four-year college or university. And 31% went into a two-year program. And 8% had post-high school plan. 92% of those students completed four-year college entrance requirements. 77 took at least one AP or IB course. 28% took college courses or dual enrollment. 99% graduated high school on time. and a 3.2 GPA was their average for that class. So this is not taking the best of the best and supporting them with resources. This is really aimed at taking students who have demonstrated academic potential but maybe have not lived up to that academic potential to date, and we're working to identify these students as in middle school as eighth graders. And then we bring them into the program to start off as their freshman year. They get support in what's called an AVID elective class, which is a support program for helping them build that college understanding as well as supporting their academic programs in the classrooms. So we'll be training our teachers this summer in to become AVID elective teachers at the AVID Summer Institute in Tampa, Florida. And we will also be participating in a training for our teachers of content in Knox County in March. One of the cool things that I wanted to share with you is about who we're kind of looking at in this program. So we're looking for those eighth grade students who are currently in that 2.0 to 3.5 GPA range that are proficient or on the bubble for their state tests, that typically they'll come from low-income homes or single-parent homes. Typically, they'll be first generation in their family to attend college. And they have to be able, of course, to complete the four-year university entrance requirements for graduation. So when we're talking about who is the right fit, it's not the top, and it's certainly not the bottom. It's, again, one of those programs that is specific for students who identify in the middle. On a separate note, I want to say that I've had some opportunity to work in an AVID school before. The school that I came from was an AVID school. We were in our eighth year as an AVID school, and we had 100% high school graduation rate, we had 100% college acceptance rate, and we had 100% college going rate out of that first year. So it's a program that I have some experience with. It's a program that I'm very excited about. And perhaps one of the biggest impacts of this program that we're hoping for in our building is typically these students are in what we call our college prep level courses. And through the AVID curriculum, there's a lot of instructional strategies that are high engagement, high interest strategies that work very, very well with that level of students. So not only will we be impacting the students who are directly involved in the AVID program over those 4 years, but we are also going to be, through the training of our teachers and the implementation of those strategies, being able to impact students school-wide in our building and bring about greater engagement in our college prep courses. And it is typically in those college prep courses that we will identify trends such as our higher failure rates tend to be in those CP courses. Students who typically fail more than one class are located in those courses. Students who tend to be chronically absent in school are typically in those courses. So this is a way for us to try to impact a lot of our school-wide goals that we're trying to improve upon. So I'm very excited about the opportunity to do this. One of the five things that AVID focuses on is writing, inquiry, collaboration, organization, and reading. All of these are skills that we can certainly stand behind. And like I was saying before, there's a variety of strategies that go along with each of these areas. For everything from Cornell notes and learning logs, writing process strategies, carousel brainstorming for writing, Socratic seminar, philosophical chairs, number of inquiry-based strategies, four-corner discussions, reciprocal teaching, dialectic journaling for collaboration, assignment logs, AVID binders, again, Cornell notes for organization, and then really focusing on developing high-impact vocabulary with these students as well, who typically struggle with the more sophisticated vocabulary that they're going to encounter on the ACT and with college-level text. So what we will be doing in the next few weeks is we'll be going out to our middle school feeders at both Robertsville and Jefferson. We'll be meeting with the eighth grade staff to talk about our recruitment process so they can help us in identifying the right students for this program. Then we will host a student meeting so we can build some interest, and then we'll host a parent meeting out at the high school, again, to gauge parents' interest in the program. It is our hope that we'll be able to kick off next year with a cohort of 50 students for this AVID initiative. And that over the course of the next 4 years, that will be about 200 AVID students that we're directly impacting. And then, like I said, hopefully those strategies will disseminate school-wide through the high-interest instructional strategies that I think the staff is really going to enjoy working with.
You mentioned that there would be, for the incoming freshmen, a class. Just briefly, what would that incoming freshman expect to learn, or what would be the methodology for that first class?
Yeah, that's a great question. So each of the elective years has its own curriculum that's designed by AVID. The first year curriculum really works on developing students' organizational and study skills. So it's a very prescribed program that works with how to create a binder, how do you manage your binder. Their binders are actually reviewed periodically, and they're given feedback on those binders for organizational skills. Same thing with them being trained with in the Cornell note-taking structure. So they're learning not only how to take notes, but then how to interact with their notes in a meaningful way that is building more lasting connections to the material. So they're not as fleeting. So really the content in that first year centers around the study skills, the organizational skills, and then starting to build that five-year plan for where they want to be 5 years down the road. So they start doing interest inventories towards what they may want to study once they get to college. They have a college project that they do where they start investigating colleges that have that major area of focus that they want to study. And then we also incorporate field trips to the campuses here in our state of many of those institutions so that they can start to walk those campuses and visualize themselves being there. So there's a lot to it. The secret to a successful AVID program, in my experience, has been identifying the right AVID elective teacher, someone who is a very strong relationship builder, someone who cares about kids, someone who's going to advocate for that group of students and make those kinds of connections with them to pull them through. And then that AVID elective teacher actually rotates up each year, so they kind of take ownership of that cohort as they go through the process. And then it's very exciting to see them graduate their first class or their next class, and then they get a new group to start all over again with. So it's there's a lot of language in that program about the AVID family, and it's really powerful to see that take place in your school building.
Well, I think this is great. I think this will be something that will pay great dividends for our school district. I've always thought, because I did teach ninth grade before I taught it when it moved to the high school, but I've always felt there's many kids that now come in from the eighth grade that almost come with that thought that I'm in high school now and I'm ready, when in their minds they're not really ready for what they're going to see. Not that they're not ready or haven't been prepared, it's just that change and as a freshman of what they're going to experience. And a lot of kids that are overwhelmed by the other things that are going on around them, this is an opportunity. I see it as an opportunity to maybe to give those kids an opportunity to refocus themselves, and kids who perhaps are really good students but get distracted, I guess. So very exciting.
Thank you.
Mr. Eby.
You indicated, I guess, you're going to have some upfront meetings. What's the process for identifying the kids to be in the class? You'll have the informational meetings, and then they'll apply to be in the class. You said it's the kind of the middle 30-50% or something like that. I mean, you exclude ones at the top, you exclude the ones at the bottom. What's the process for how does that work?
Yeah, I think we have a target goal of who we're trying to support through this program. And I wouldn't say that we're excluding ones at the top or ones at the bottom, but it's really designed with the support systems and the scaffolding that's in place. where if you are a student at the top, you already have those study skills embedded into it. You typically are coming from a home where your parents have navigated that process once, so you don't need as much support in kind of the hidden curriculum of getting into college. And at the same time, if you're on the lower end of the spectrum, you're really going to struggle to be able to master the rigors of the program, because what we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking CP students that, in the absence of an AVID program, would remain CP students through their four-year course at Oak Ridge High School. And in 4 years, we're going to advance them from CP into honors into our AP and our dual enrollment program. And so we're having great conversations about what we're going to do to make that happen and how we're going to get the gains that we need to see. But to get back to your question about how we're going to identify, so we have a lot of ways that we're going to be doing this. So the first thing that we do is we give to the eighth grade teachers sheets of paper that have an evaluation on it, basically, of 30 or 40 different characteristics that the students have. And those students that are interested will ask those. They have to get two or three recommendations from their teachers, either eighth grade or some point in middle school, to score them on that rubric. And then we have the interest meeting. Students can self-select and self-succeed into this program, which is a big part of it, because it is advancement via individual determination, not your mama's determination, not your counselor's determination, and not your pastor's determination, even though all of those things are very, very important. And then we have an interview process. And so ideally, if we get a cohort of 50, then or in that range, we feel good about, we're going to move forward with those 50. And if we get a cohort of 75 that we feel good about, we'll find a way to make it work with that number two. We want to do everything that we can to serve this, use this program to serve as many of our kids as we can. And one thing I'll say also about the AVID program, a lot of schools nationwide are using AVID to build a college culture, a college-going culture, and the rigor piece into place in schools that might not have that. And that is not the issue at Oak Ridge High School. So we have that college-going culture for the most part. We have the rigor for the most part. We're one of the best college preparatory programs in the state of Tennessee, and I would say even beyond. Certainly in the realm of public schools, we are. And so what we are going to focus on is, instead of putting all of our energies into building those pieces, parts that are already in place at Oak Ridge High School, we are going to be focusing our energy solely on how do we move these very capable students who might not even recognize that potential that they have inside of them from where they are to where we need to get them so that they are competing for the education opportunities and post-secondary world and the monies to make those a reality.
I too think this could be an outstanding, excellent program for a lot of our children. And obviously, if this is being done nationwide to success, there must be some policies and procedures, processes developed. I just strongly encourage you to make that very clear, because there will be some growing pains, I'm sure. But, get them up front so people understand, know what the expectations are and how you're going to go through that process. But very good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's one of the benefits of this program is everything's been done for so long. They've got resources on how to manage that. And I'll be honest with you, one of the challenges we faced in Chatham County was after those parent meetings, we had a lot of parents whose student didn't fall into our marker of what we were looking for, who heard things like college readiness and college going and saw some of the data, and they wanted their child to be a part of that program. But they just, that was not the program for that child necessarily. And those are hard conversations to have, but that's something that we have to navigate.
All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you all.
Next, under special reports and presentations, District Emergency Operations Plan, Dr. Borchers.
I'll ask Kaylin to come on up and get ready to help present. The board has a binder in front of them. Much of what Kaylin has been doing behind the scenes through various committee work and putting all these things in one place. But we appreciate everything Kaylin has done, like most things, and that includes district emergency operations plans. It doesn't get simpler. It gets more complicated. So Kaylin and her role has really helped us organize this, and it's helped our entire organization.
Hello. Hello. Thank you guys for having me today. My name is Kaylin Hayes, and I am the Safe Schools Assistant and Title I Assistant here in the district. I am also a certified Tennessee School Safety Specialist. Have really enjoyed being able to get my hands dirty and sink in to our emergency operations plans. So I hope that you all find the information this evening pleasing to your ears. So, our emergency operations plan, the document itself is multi-level, as you can see before you. The document lists different district response teams that we have. For instance, one of those would be our postvention team, which is a group of individuals from the Oak Ridge schools, as well as some individuals from community partnerships that we have, who would go into a school or district level if an event were to happen, to offer counseling postvention support services for large-scale things to support staff and students. Something else that is in there is a signatory page. That is for all of our community partners and our school leadership. That is something that everyone will be provided a copy of our plan so that they know our plan. They're able to see it. We're all on the same page, and we're all working from the same document. We also have historical information in there, things that have happened in our nation and in our area that affect how we do business on a daily basis. Examples of that would be Columbine and Sandy Hook, as they have affected how school systems are operated safely every day. We also have a list of our Oak Ridge School District positions and the people in our district who hold those. It has job descriptions, expectations listed in there, and then we have the waves of teams that would come in to fulfill those if we needed to go past our first level. We also have MOUs, which are memorandums of understanding. We have several of those with other school districts in our area that would provide emergency services to us, and we could do the same for them as well. We have a hazard and risk identification tool in there, which lists things that would affect our district in order of greatest risk to least. An example would be we have a tornado procedure in there, but of course we don't have a hurricane procedure because that's not something that we worry about here. And there are lots of other intricate details in there, and this is an ever-changing document. We are always getting updated and new information safety-wise or things that affect our area, so this will never, ever be a completed, signed, sealed, delivered document. As board members, I know that you all are very familiar with the 7 keys to college and career readiness. Like all of our academic initiatives, we are carefully examining the ways in which our school safety can support these goals as well. So why is this important? Why are we having this conversation? Why have I been spending so much time working on this document? Well, we came up with this simple math problem. We have very high academic standards for our students and for our staff members to achieve every year. However, we cannot expect our students and our staff members to reach those goals if they are not in a safe and secure environment. So essentially, having a safe and secure environment plus having our students and staff members reaching these academic standards ultimately equals school district success. It's kind of like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You can't have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without peanut butter and jelly. They both go together to make your final product. We also need to be making school safety personal. We need to have names and faces in our heads and in our mindsets when we're making these plans. This plan is not to occupy space on someone's shelf. We're making these plans to keep moms and dads and sons and daughters and friends and neighbors safe every day at school. How and why was this plan developed? The template that we are using for our emergency district plan was developed by the Tennessee School Safety Center, which is an extension of the Department of Education. Our new emergency operations plan is taken directly from that template, and we have incorporated information from the Oak Ridge Emergency Management Agency. We've also incorporated past documents from Oak Ridge Schools emergency response plans previously, and then new information that we've received from new trainings and things like that that we've been to. Something that we need to discount is something I like to call the Mayberry effect. And I feel like in our area, we get caught in this a lot, mostly because of where we're at. We're in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. We're in a relatively safe area. Thankfully, we've not had a lot of large tragedies happen in our area. However, unfortunately, it is something that we need to think about, and we can't think about if something were to ever happen. We have to be in the mindset of when something would happen bad in our area and be prepared for that. Our staff and our students should feel like they have a voice. No matter if you're at the top of the rung or at the bottom of the rung, everyone contributes to our safety, whether that's writing the plan, whether that's enacting the protocols, whether that's asking questions or going to trainings. We all have a place, and we all need to take that place. So where do we go from here? First is going to be our individual school safety plans. Up until this point, all schools, not just Oak Ridge schools, but all schools have been able to create their own safety documents and safety plans. We are going to move forward with a new Tennessee State school template, which is much like the district template, and each school will have the same document that we're working from, and they'll just plug in their own unique information for their school and their campus. That way we're all working from one document, and it's seamless throughout the district. Next, we are going to be introducing the School Dude app. The School Dude app is called Crisis Manager, and this is going to be a tiered emergency plan that is going to be disseminated to everyone. It will have security clearances for the top and then have a tiered effect all the way down to parents and students. So everyone will be able to get a piece of the pie and see the information that's vital for them. And then some obviously will have more access to others. Continue meetings and trainings and dialogues, keeping the lines of communication open within the district. If someone has a question or an idea, being able to share and talk about that. Like I said previously, we all contribute to this, and we all need to make sure that we have a hand in the pot. I have a 5-year-old daughter, and she, when she was learning to make a clean plate at the dinner table, we call it a happy plate, she was having a really difficult time doing that. And we decided to give her smaller portions on her plate so that she could clear her plate at the end of dinner. We were setting her up for success. Worked wonderful. We need to do that for our district as well. We need to set ourselves up for success and being prepared for something to happen, not wanting something to happen, but being prepared for something to happen so that when it does, that we're successful in our response to that. I thank you for your time, and if you have any questions or comments.
I have a comment and a question, but comment first. You may have already done this. It's interesting. 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago, I was having a conversation with the mayor on this very topic. So it would be very appropriate to see if the city doesn't already have one, that particularly one gets to the mayor, if we can do that. If the city manager wants to take mine, I can get another one.
Keelan, do we have a copy sent to the city already?
Yes, I have meetings set up to meet with Mayor Gooch. That should be happening in the next few weeks.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mr. Eby.
Yes, coming from the working world, I think this is really important that we do this. And I know there's training. I know we've had training on various cinder issues. Looking at this document, it's pretty thorough. Do people get training on the document so they know how to use the document specifically?
Yes, that's a great question. Currently, we have come up with that document, and I've sent it to your all's eyes, and our executive directors have all received a copy of that. I've scheduled meetings with Mayor Gooch, Fire Chief Curley, and Chief Akagi, and then the Roane County side of things as well. So we're getting the signatory page done first, then starting November the 9th is my first school level meeting, where I'm going to be meeting with the school level school safety teams. Okay. Giving them a copy of the school level plan for them to go ahead and start looking at and working on, talking to me about different things that they have. And then in our Wednesday professional development, our emergency preparedness strand, two of those Wednesdays this coming spring will be solely dedicated to work on this. And there is a representative from each school in that strand.
Good. And the other thing is, I noticed a section in here on talking about communications, and it talks about the importance of, you know, school board members being great spokespersons for the district, et cetera. But you don't have within your emergency contacts anybody within the school board. And I would strongly recommend you put the chairman on the Board of Education as emergency contact. The superintendent does a great job of contacting the chairman and all of us. He may not be the person there or whatever, and it's important for us to know if there's something going on. Administration, Ms. Lamerhart does a great job of keeping us informed, but I think we ought to have on that contact page the chairman of the Board of Education.
I will add that tomorrow.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is the public forum. The public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address that. You may address a topic that is on the agenda when it is presented. If you choose to address the board, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments, or may have the superintendent address your concerns. When you speak, please come to the podium and sign in, and then state your name and address. And I will pass on first. I know the city manager here has been waiting patiently, so I'm going to give you the opportunity to be first without even having to raise your hand.
It's a pleasure to just take a few minutes tonight to go over a couple of updates that I'd like to share with the board. First off, I'd like to comment on the level of coordination and cooperation that we're having with Mr. McDonald and the high school staff as we talk about emergencies and those types of things. There's a lot of keys to people being involved. I would suggest that the list that we have right now is somewhat limited. So, if we're talking about utility folks, electric folks, the city manager, those folks should also be included within your emergency plans. Dr. Borchers and I've had continue to have our meetings on a regular basis, and a couple things will be heading your way. One of those being a joint management and use plan associated with Blankenship Field. We hope to bring that up to you in December, and we are finalizing a document on how that would work. As far as reservations and dedications to various events that would occur up at Blankenship Field. And so you can be looking for that. I'd also ask that we are aggressively working on preparation for the legislative session, and we need your help on identifying what the potential impacts will be on such matters as school voucher programs to our district, and how it affects us overall financially. We know on the financial front over at ETTP that there's discussion on tax exempting that land. So as we continue to see erosion of funding and of different things, we need to know how that's going to impact the overall financial picture for both school and city. To provide some of the services that we continue to deal with. The last thing I wanted to bring to your attention is I have had a couple of meetings, and most recently this week, with the energy management firms, and they have completed or getting nearing completion of a 50% review process, and they will be bringing some recommendations to Alan Thacker and the superintendent and myself, and we'll need to start planning how that impact will be with respect to financing, source of financing for some of the improvements that would occur because of energy savings that we're looking at. They said it looks pretty, you know, pretty promising as far as some of the recommendations that they will have, but we will be having a joint group meeting coming up fairly shortly on this, and before probably early part of December that will be occurring. So that does engage both parties, and I know the superintendent and I are working closely to coordinate that. And then I guess last, we've also suggested that we potentially are looking at several new faces on the city council as the learning curve comes about. I know that Keys, you and Ms. Eagle there will be fully trained and ready to go after election. But as we look at a couple of new faces, it probably will be beneficial if we could sit down, and we've talked about maybe having the city council work session that would be scheduled in December as being a joint work session with the school and the city, kind of kick off the new year right. So just wanted to share those items with you, answer any questions you may have.
We, on the legislative front, we will be attending Tennessee School Board Association convention this weekend, and we'll have discussions on those various topics that you alluded to as well. On November 18th, the board will be having a retreat, and we have invited our legislative delegation to come to that retreat as well. So we will certainly be pursuing those as they have a direct impact not only on our school district but our community as well. So I would ask you one question of one thing we know that's on our minds that you did not allude to, and that would be the preschool.
Okay.
Where we are with there.
I have another competing interest that is occurring right now, which is the change of the Sessions Court associated with Anderson County. They need to be in new facilities, so they're looking at going to the Daniel Arthur Building. In the meantime, that makes the senior citizens needing to get out of the Daniel Arthur Building so remodeling can occur. And so they will be moving to temporary quarters in the Civic Center, which also has me moving the Parks Administration offices over to the Scarborough Center for temporary duty as the Badger building, building for the blind is revamped for Parks Administration and some offices over there. So I'm on about a 60-day timetable window to get out by the end of the year so that the county can do their thing and we move some people around. And I think right after the first of the year, we're ready to hit the ground running on the pre-K building.
You mentioned possible tax exemption at ETTP. Is that a local decision or?
We're hearing rumblings that's kind of a local proposal that's out there. And as you look at land transfer associated with Department of Energy, that's a long, elongated process. However, they have the Croat agency that they can use. I know that there's some plans for what happens in 5 years when all of the buildings have been removed and UCOR moves on to other projects in other areas. And so as we look at that, there could be some impacts, and particularly as you look at abatements and trying to encourage industrial activization of those areas, there could be some financial you know, some financial removals. Once it transfers out of the Department of Energy and goes to a different agency, then the PILT also lowers, and we also will see the lowering caused by a proposed airport.
And that's the reason I was asking the question, because I have spent some time this summer in Los Alamos and also in Hanford, and those towns do very well, and we need to work our legislative congressmen and senators and be sure that you know, we get our fair share on that.
We will be having an intergovernmental meeting with the folks from Los Alamos and around the country here in a couple more weeks. And one of the things we understand that there is just kind of an effort to get out of that in the Los Alamos area. I don't understand the details of it. I have not had time to look at it, but more or less making a tax exemption, if you will. Therefore, there's no contributions or limited contributions into the Los Alamos funding system. So it's an issue that could be done in other parts of the country that could affect us here, and we need to be vigilant.
I do know there, I think it was their Education Foundation or something, got like $80 million as a baseline to, you know, sort of use as a chair from which they then earn interest on that they use.
At least
that's what they told me. So, you know, I mean, we just need to be creative in how we do this and use our appropriate congressional support, because I do think, you know, I mean, our PILT has been a big issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bruce, is there anything I missed?
I think you have it. I would agree with Mark that we continue to meet, have conversations on a weekly basis, if not more, and appreciate the teamwork and collaboration on all of these things.
I would say, going back to the legislative issues, that there are 29 city school systems, if you will, that are out there in the state. And what we are continuously hearing is that we're really not well understood, because generically the legislative group looks at county funded school systems, and as such that becomes a kind of a challenge to say that whatever you do here has an impact on us and also on the city government as you deal with the services. And and so as we look at that, I think that'll be something that we have to be careful of. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your time. Anyone else in the public forum? Waiting patiently?
Hi, my name is Abby Housladen, and I'm from in eighth grade from Jefferson Middle School. I want to thank the Oak Ridge City Schools for your support of the Japanese Exchange Program with Nakashi. This program was a wonderful opportunity for us to visit Japan and learn about another culture. My family was privileged to host a Japanese student who learned about our culture also. Thank you again for your support. It was an amazing experience for all of us.
Hi, my name is Austin Mays, and I'm in the 8th grade at Jefferson Middle School. I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to go on this trip, and I want to thank you for, I know most of the day trips in Knoxville that we had were mostly funded by you guys, and I want to thank you a lot for that. I know he really enjoyed them.
Hello, my name is Eli Gardner, and I'm 8th grade at Robertsville Middle School. And I just wanted to say how much fun I had in Japan. I had an amazing time there, and I appreciate you letting us go there. And I'm thinking about going back to Japan for another year. I have another program that I could get into that I could probably go back to Japan. And I wanted to thank you all.
Hi, my name is Sarah Hammonds, and I'm in eighth grade at Jefferson Middle School. And I just wanted to start off by saying how thankful we are all are that we had this opportunity. We were so honored to be part of something so special, and we wanted to thank you for your amazing support. We had such a great time and couldn't have done it without you. Thank you.
Before you sit down, let me just say a couple of things. Education is more than sitting in a classroom. We're very fortunate in Elk Ridge to have extended programs that we're able to fund that allow students to do things such as what you have done. But the real reason why this board is interested in continuing to make those things available is, as I just said, number one, because it is an extension of your learning. But number two is the representation that we get from the students who go that represent our school district and our community in great measure. So we're very proud of you for going and doing that. And we thank you for your comments and look forward to supporting this program for many years to come. Other comments? Thank you very much. And we're glad you enjoyed your trip.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And if I'd known you were here to thank us, I would have put you on first.
I'm Jerry Luckman, and I'm the chairman of the Sister City Support Organization, and I'm here to thank the school board and the school staff and the Oak Ridge Schools for all their support for all our activities. We were especially pleased this summer to celebrate our 25th anniversary of the middle school exchange, and we definitely appreciated you sending Dr. Hebrard with us. We enjoyed having him. He was a wonderful representative for Oak Ridge Schools and for the Sister Cities and for Oak Ridge in general. We want to thank you also to all of those who came and represented the school board and the school staff at our 25th anniversary celebration that we had here. We owe a lot to the city staff, the Oak Ridge School staff, for the planning and carrying out that wonderful program. We had the Consul General from Nashville, Consul General of Japan from Nashville, come to visit. And we just appreciate the school's total participation in these programs and for all Sister City programs. And we just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you for that. And we know quite well, without the work that you have done and that Shigeko has done, you all are the backbone of this program, and we appreciate that. Anyone else for the public forum? Hearing no one else, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. Eagle and seconded by Mr. Eby. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, we'll move to items for action. First item is the fourth grade safety patrol field trip. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the fourth grade safety patrol field trip to Washington, D.C. for Glenwood Elementary, Linden Elementary, Woodland, and Willowbrook Elementary Schools from March 13th through the 16th, 2017.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion? Are your all's mics not working? Oh.
Move for approval.
Second.
Thank you. Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
This item, the board can find a lot of information attached to this item. We do have Mr. Roger Ward here if you have some specific questions about the trip. Obviously, this is a trip that's been taken many times in the past. The management of the trip is a little bit different this time due to some decisions. But if you need more information, Mr. Ward would be the person to ask those questions.
Questions? Mr. Eby?
Yeah, I noticed that we changed the tour group, and I guess I always thought that everybody from all of Knox, East Tennessee, went over together. And did the whole East Tennessee change the tour group, or did we just change it, or how does that work?
All right, good question. AAA of East Tennessee
took safety patrollers from East Tennessee on the 60th trip last May. We received a letter early this year that said AAA was going to have to change some things. I think the trip became really large. About 2,400 safety patrollers went to DC last year, about 43 tour buses. We stayed in four different hotels, had 11 different itineraries, and AAA probably was having to employ some extra staff even just manage this trip. So they sent us a letter saying that each school would be limited to 8 patrollers. Last year, Linden took 56. So to decide that we were going to only take 8 just wasn't possible. You probably saw a lot about it in the news, Knoxville News Sentinel, et cetera. And many people went into a mode of, just trying to figure out a way to get AAA to change their mind. As Oak Ridgers do, we went a different route and we decided to become solutions oriented. So the four elementary school principals met and formulated a plan. Part of that plan was to look for other organizations that may be able to do the same thing. And so I went to my resources at AAA and I said, would you be willing as AAA to just logistic our trip? Just give me hotel names, people to contact at the motor coach companies, et cetera. And they said they had a better idea. They gave me 3 other tour groups that were very experienced with student tours. I contacted those 3 companies and they all provided proposals. Gerber Tours, which you have in front of you, presented the closest thing that we had been doing at the best rate for us. So it all worked out. We decided as a principal group that spring break made sense for us. And so with your approval, we'll get the ball rolling and hopefully take about 100 safety patrollers from all 4 of the elementary schools to Washington, D.C., in spite of the news that we received early in the year.
Thank you. I'm really glad that you kept the program and kept it to all the students who are in the safety patrol. This is a great trip and a great opportunity for them, so well done. Thank you.
We're very excited. There are some nice changes to the trip. We were able to keep some of the things that we had always done that we really appreciated and then add some new elements to the trip. For example, we'll be seeing all of the memorials and monuments at night when they're lit instead of during the daytime. We'll have tour guides provided by the company, which we've never had. We've always had to sort of do that on our own. Also, this company says to us that at night they want the chaperones to rest, and so they're providing nighttime security for the hotel, which is a blessing for those of us going. However, I will tell you that the chaperones don't really sleep much with 10-year-olds in hotel rooms. But it is a nice extra layer of comfort for us.
Anyone else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion on the floor is approval of the 4th grade safety patrol field trip. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next on the agenda under items for action is the Oak Ridge High School band field trip to Orlando. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the Oak Ridge High School band to travel to Orlando, Florida to participate in the STARS concert venue competition and adjudication program from March 10th to the 14th, 2017. Numerous fundraisers will be available for students to participate in raising funds.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. Agel. Dr. Borchers.
The board has the attachment to this item. Mr. Milligan is here if we have questions for him. And again, this is during our spring break.
This is not a question, but since you're seated out there, I'm just going to take this opportunity to thank you for what you and your staff do to provide quality, beyond quality, superb shows and I know you put in and the students put in many, many hours to make this happen. The success that the band has is well evidenced and it comes from hard work. But as a board, we greatly appreciate what you do. And it's always exciting to to listen to the music provided by the band. So thank you for that. Comments or questions about the trip? I mean, anybody want to go?
Well, and I'll just echo what Mr. Flower said. I am in the wonderful position of actually having a child who is a student and marches in the marching band with Mr. Milligan and his staff. Just terrific job. So thank you so much for all your hard work.
And you notice, Mr. Ward, we didn't really volunteer to go on the safety patrol trip, but maybe to Orlando with the band, you know, I don't know.
I would rather take 10-year-olds anywhere before high school. I'm good.
Okay. The motion is approval of the Oak Ridge High School band field trip to Orlando. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next is one of our more exciting items that we get each year, and that's the approval of the budget timeline for FY 2017-2018. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, the proposed budget timeline for 17-18 is presented for the review of the board, input, and approval. Updates will be made when the City Council's approved budget calendar for FY 18 is available.
I've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Karen or Dr. Borchers, either one.
I think we've kind of already alluded to it. This is kind of your first draft, and we all know that there'll be many changes most likely as we move through the year.
Any comments or questions? Hearing none, the motion on the floor is approval of the budget timeline for FY 2017-2018. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next item is the purchase of a dishwasher machine for Glenwood Elementary. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval to purchase a dishwashing machine from Strategic Equipment of Knoxville, Tennessee in the amount of $44.79. You can see the attached details for more information.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
As Alan and Karen and I have talked, this is a much needed replacement, needs to be done. This is the lowest bidder for this particular item.
Just want to add one thing because it's really positive. Jen Taylor on our behalf applied for a grant from the USDA, and so $25,000 of this purchase is going to be paid for by the grant. So it's great news.
Other comments or questions? Motion is for the approval of a dishwasher machine for Glenwood Elementary. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next is the first reading, FY17 budget transfer number one, transfer of funds. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the transfer of funds detailed on the attached information. These changes do not impact the overall appropriation approved by the city and requires no action of City Council.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
As the board knows, we have several of these throughout the year. This is our first transfer this year. Any other information, Karen, you'd like to add at this time?
It's generally at this time just to get grants set up, because when we do develop the budget, we don't have the details on grants most of the time. And so by this time we do, and we make the transfers necessary and square everything up.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none. This is a first reading for approval of FY17 budget transfer number one, transfer of funds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next item is a second reading on board policy 6.3071, student alcohol and drug testing. This is a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
I recommend approval of Board Policy 6.3071, Student Alcohol and Drug Testing.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
Dr. Henderson couldn't be here with us this evening, but Mr. Lay and I will handle this one. If you remember, this is the policy where on the top of page 2, we didn't think it'd be a great idea for our own staff to be the one in the presence of these people, so we wanted an outside facility to do that, but we missed a few pieces within that policy that still said the principal or administrator did that. So we've cleaned those things up that were an issue last time, and it's back to the board for second reading.
Comments or questions? Ms. Marshall.
Yeah, just for clarity. So as I understand it, as I read that first line of page 2, and I believe it's the last line of page 2, we will use a third-party contractor to conduct these services.
That is correct.
Okay. There may still be an opportunity to clean up the language there just a little bit. Tests shall be conducted in the presence of a witness. Persons who shall act as witness shall be a contracted facility. Those are almost in reverse to me, but that may be a nitpicky item there, edit. But yeah, just wanted to confirm that I was understanding that correctly.
Mr. Eby.
Just as we were talking about on the emergency process training, what is our process to assure that all the procedures and policies like this, that the teachers and the staff, the appropriate people, get trained on these things in a efficient and timely manner?
When we have new policies such as this, basically we have our principals meeting once per month. And during that time, we will cover items such as this. We'll discuss it. Principals have the opportunity, of course, to ask their questions. And sometimes we take items such as this or topics such as this, and they're addressed multiple times. So basically it's discussed with the principals. We get a clear understanding. They will receive documentation writing, then basically it filters down through the schools, through staff meetings, and the principals working with their staffs.
Other comments or questions?
Just one more.
Yeah, sure.
As I read through this, for clarity, do we treat all students, regardless of their age, the same? So like for contacting parents, things like that, are the legal rights of an 18-year-old the same as minors in these circumstances?
That's a good question, Bruce. I'm not sure if you...
That is a very good question. The rights of an 18-year-old is different than basically a person who is 17 or younger. You can take basically... they can represent themselves in an IEP meeting. They do not require their parents to be there. Beyond that, I would have to do some research.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we delineate in the policy, and I might feel better if we double-check that with legal before we approve this one.
Okay. And let me clarify.
That's a good question.
Basically, in other words, if parental permission was not required for an 18-year-old, you'd like to have that stated.
Exactly. I mean, there's several places where we're involving parents. Like I said, I'm just not sure what the legal rights of an 18-year-old are in relation to mandatory drug testing as opposed to a minor who's in the charge of their parent, and et cetera.
So we'll look wherever it says parent or guardian will be contacted, and
yes,
then we'll
and then
ask our attorney to say, do we need additional language or
Or just one more attorney review in light of the question, perhaps. Yeah.
Sounds good.
I may be off on all of my Robert's rules of order here, but I believe I can place that on the table and just let it sit there until we come back without any other action needed to be taken by the board at this time. So that's what we'll place this on the table until that information comes back at our next board meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. No, thank you. Okay, we're moving next to two new policies. Well, changes, not new policies, they're not new policies, changing. And in these two policies, they're both first reading. And again, I would just remind you that after each discussion of each one on first reading, we do have the opportunity to suspend the second reading. But if we choose not to do that, then as always, we can bring this back at the next meeting for the second reading. So we move to Board Policy 5.302, sick leave. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 5.302, sick leave, on first reading.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion's made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
I saw Dr. Lee come up to the front of the room, but if the board would look at your attachment, if you haven't already, that first page there, we put a one-sentence blurb. And over the years, and most recently, we've had a question about the parents being able to use accumulated sick leave. And we posed that question to our attorney, which he said, you know what, we probably should change our policy, and provided the wording that you now see in the policy. So that is directly from our attorney with the suggestion that we do so. Dr. Lee, do you have anything else other than, okay, unless there's questions, Dr. Lee's going to stay in the comfort chair over there.
Questions from members of the board?
Yes, please. So because I find this a little confusing at moments, and just so that I'm understanding, this allows a parent to use accumulated sick leave in conjunction with their disability. So our maternity policy is actually a disability medically oriented policy. Is that correct?
It's both.
It's
you
both.
Can use currently the parent giving birth can use sick leave for the physical disability, and then they can use leave up to a year without pay. But the non-birth parent up to now was not able to use sick leave in any form, although they were able to use it if they adopted a child.
Interesting. Okay.
So we're trying to expand that so that our leave is consistent and that the non-birth parent can use it as well.
Got it. Got it. And I think my other question is related to the partner or the sister policy to this regarding FMLA. So I'll hold that one for now.
Anyone else? Motion then on the floor is on first reading to approve Board Policy 5.302, sick leave. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Then we would move to suspend the second reading of the Board Policy 5.302, sick leave. Do I hear a motion to do that?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Any additional discussion? We're good. And all those in favor suspending the second reading signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Next is Board Policy 5.305, Family and Medical Leave, first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 5.305, Family and Medical Leave, first reading.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
And I'll ask Dr. Lee to come forward. I think we'll have a question here. But again, under the advice of our own attorney, that wanted to include this in this policy as well.
Questions?
And again, I think it's just a clarification question. But this basically allows a parent to either use that leave and rather than unpaid, the 12 weeks being fully unpaid, they could use up to whatever they've accumulated in sick leave to be compensated for part of that 12-week FMLA.
They can use up to the parent giving birth can use up to the period of the physical disability, and the non-birth parent can use 30 days of accumulated sick leave.
Okay. So
they can take the entire FMLA period.
Okay. I think, all right, thank you.
Anyone else? Motion is to approve Board Policy 5.305. Family and Medical Leave on first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Then I would ask for a motion to suspend the second reading of this policy 5.305.
Move for approval.
Second.
I see some hesitation. We do have a second. Mr. Eby made the motion. Ms. Marshall seconded. Comments or questions?
I have no reservations whatsoever about this policy. I think it's a good thing to do. I do have some discomfort with consistently suspending the second reading.
And we don't have to. It's just a matter of expediting. And I understand probably where, and correct me if I'm wrong, where you're coming from. It does, if we have a policy, if we don't go to second reading till the next meeting, there is some time in there for anyone on the outside, so to speak, to comment or question it.
Well, and that's my point exactly, is that for many years, we always did a first reading in one meeting and a second reading in another meeting, so that if people came forward with questions or information, there was time to consider that input. And as I said, I have no reservations about this policy, none. But as a general practice, I would prefer that we go back to doing second readings at a separate meeting, even though I realize that makes our meetings a little longer and spreads stuff out a little more. I think it's a good practice to do it that way.
Let me, if I could, make a recommendation here. Let's make this an item for some discussion at our board retreat, just so we can get a feel for how the board thinks about that and go from there. And we'll go ahead with this one, since we've got a motion and a second, and then our retreat occurs before our next board meeting, so we'd have that in place, and a decision can be made by the board to do that. Mr. Eby, you had a...
Well, if we're going to discuss it at the retreat, there's no reason to discuss it here, so...
Well, I guess just for the sake of asking the question publicly, my presumption, because every time I have asked, were these policies vetted with appropriate constituents, I've heard the answer yes. So my presumption when we have policies come to us that represent policies that will directly impact staffing or employment or whatever that case may be, that it's already been to the OREA group for vetting, that teachers and, you know, and their perspectives and staff perspectives have been represented. And I assume that's the case here. Yes. I'm seeing nods. So, all right, just to clarify. So, Ms. A, yeah, get it. Don't disagree. But to the credit of the staff, we are routing things before they get to us. So.
Okay, I've got that so noted for our agenda. Dr. Borchers, you made a note of that too for then. To suspend second reading on board policy 5.305. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next is facility alteration at Willowbrook Elementary. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the facility alteration to the Willowbrook Elementary campus.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
As you can see from the attachment, this is for the construction of an outdoor wetland on the Woodland campus and made available through a local funding grant. So I think a positive all the way around.
Comments? Motion is approve a facility alteration at Willowbrook Elementary. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next is a facility alteration at Jefferson Middle School. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the facility alteration to Jefferson Middle School.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
As you can see, this is probably, I would say, Jefferson would say, much needed irrigation system for the Jefferson Middle School practice field. So happy to have the people you see on your attachment helping Jefferson Middle School make this happen.
Comments or questions?
Thank the donor, whoever it was.
Yes, absolutely. The motion is the approval of facility alteration at Jefferson Middle School. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next is on the agenda is a resolution on Tennessee Public Chapter 669, which is known as the 90-minute physical activity law. Dr. Borchers, if you want to give the recommendation, then I'll take it from there and kind of give a background on where we are.
I recommend approval of the resolution of the Tennessee Public Chapter 669, Tennessee Code Annotated 49-6-1021, known as the 90-minute physical activity law.
You've heard the recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Just a little background on this and where we are and why it's here before us. At the last Tennessee School Board Association Board of Directors, this topic came up for discussion. At that point in time, no school district had submitted a resolution to TSBA for this item to be on the legislative agenda at the delegate assembly at our convention. So within the discussion, it's still possible for this to be submitted, but one that has already been submitted and approved to move forward takes a majority vote. One that has not, but can be presented from the floor, takes two-thirds vote from the delegation. After that meeting, I came back and discussed this with Dr. Borchers to say, let's go ahead and see if we can get something together. But within about 2 days of that discussion, I received notification from TSBA that Warren County had submitted a resolution and were going to present it from the floor at our convention. So at that point in time, we proposed the resolution to the board for comments and discussion. If we're going to support it, then I felt it important that we identify our support at our meeting. Well, we've had several comments in regard to some of the language in this resolution. So if we want to change some of that language, we can do so. And then what we would have to do at the convention is, once this is proposed, then we would have to stand and submit that we would like to amend it. If we choose to do that, then I would make the effort myself to talk to the Warren County board chair to let them know that this is coming forward and hope that we could gain their support. So with that being said, comments about this. I know, Ms. Marshall, you had one concern, if you'd like to go with it there. Okay.
I think I remember, if it's okay.
I believe it was around the stipulation for the language around
high school.
I think
it was the very second sentence where it says mm-hmm. that elementary schools, but then it goes on to describe elementary, middle, and high school.
Mm-hmm.
So the changes we thought, if the board should choose to do that, we could supplement that with public, that
yes.
public schools will.
Yes,
and then
I believe you're right
then
there.
Then you can detail with about elementary,
yeah, again,
middle,
it was high. It was one of those weird little language things. Yeah.
But even saying that, I think by making that change, it changes the dynamics of the whole resolution by saying that, I think.
But I think, like your suggestion to talk to the chairman of the Warren County, if you go ahead and notify him now when they present the resolution, they can say that, you know, this was a mistake and that we're making that change. And
right, that's a good point. Could do that, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, because ultimately it reads like a typo almost, right. Or just a exactly. Mislabel. So,
any other comments about the resolution as a whole?
I would just say, just so our community knows, this has nothing to do with the board or myself not supporting physical activity for students. I think we all know how important that is. This is really about how it was written and structured, where it impacted other things that I don't think the people putting this together thought of ahead of time. So just want that to be clear, that we're not opposed to the physical activity.
Well, and as I recall, the code, just the way it's written, not only did it impact other things, it just wasn't particularly clear. From expectation setting sort of a standpoint. So this really does ask for clarity and some further guidance. So.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
So
I do have a comment. Assuming that this passes, you know, this is a resolution that TSBA would then take to the legislation, you know, as one of the issues that they would like to see changed. I think it would be appropriate for us to talk to our state representative and, you know, explain to him why we think this is it is, and ask him for his support.
I agree. At this point in time, Lynn, I think we did hear from Representative Reagan that he would not be able to be here on the 18th. In a conversation I had with him, and I might have misheard him now that I think about this, but for some reason I thought he said to me he was going to be at TSBA one day there. So if he is, I'll find that out for sure.
He'll probably come to the breakfast that we have, I bet.
It could be. So if not, then we'll make an effort in another manner to contact him and let him know. That's a good point. Okay, I would need to hear an amendment made for that change, if somebody wants to do that, to amend this.
Move to amend the first paragraph by striking the word elementary.
Change it to public.
Change it to public.
Do I hear a second to that?
Second.
Any additional discussion? All those in favor of amending resolution submitted by Warren County in the first paragraph, second sentence, changing the word elementary to public, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Then next, we'll go back to a motion to that's been made to approve this resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Next, items for information, enrollment report. Mr. Lay, you want to give a heads up on that? It's a little bit different. Coming this way with that in the attendance.
Yes.
In fact, if you just want to talk about both of them at the same time, that'd be okay. And then we can ask questions about either.
All right. We tried to address any concern we had. And of course, if you look at the standard attendance period, second standard period, that's basically the report you're used to looking at. Of course, we did add the preschool last year, but once again, that's our standard report. If you'll look at your second one with your graphs, basically what you have there is we've given you some information where you can compare basically where our attendance is going. If you will look at the green on the charts or on the graphs, basically the green represents our excused absences, our blue unexcused absences. In the top left-hand corner, you'll see basically the percentage of absenteeism for reporting period one as it compares to reporting period two. And as we go through the attendance periods throughout the year, that bar will just continue. And basically, we did bring that to scale where all the you can look at the bar graphs and we'll help you compare it a little bit easier. So
Jennifer and Jeff have been working hard to get this a little bit more pleasing to the eye, all right?
I'm not going to recognize you because I know what you're going to say. Not Mr. Avey.
Well, first let me say that this is a work in progress, and we are doing better. But I think you got a mistake in the Glenwood. Take the Glenwood second grade, and it appears, even take the third grade, the numbers are 50.5 excused and 29.5 unexcused, and they're almost the same place on the bar, both of them above 50. Likewise, the first grade, 31 and 17, and they're both down, I don't know, around 31 or 17. And then the third grade, 40.5 is higher than 47.5. So I think, you know, we probably have a problem with our, hopefully it's a problem with the graphing thing.
You know, I was so excited with the format, I really missed that one. But it does appear that our calculations, something is not functioning correctly.
Yeah, I think it's just, I think it's the graph. I think the rest of it, you know, looks good and just shows that I did look at it. So
okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, that's encouraging.
That's all.
I think it too will be, and I too appreciate this. It'll be obviously interesting as we get toward the end of the year, where to see where we're holding or what's happening at that point in time. It'll be a good vehicle for future discussion on what we might need to do in this area.
It will help us identify trends, because I know one principal reported to me some weeks ago attendance appeared to be better this year. You know, and that's based on speculation, but we should have data. And then what with the information we're providing this year, next year we'll be able to compare the first month or the first reporting period this year to the last year. That data will be there. Those comparisons will become really easy. So.
Ms. Eichel.
Well, I still have some concern with the numbers of unexcused absences in elementary school, particularly with very young children. I'm pretty sure these kindergartners are not skipping school. So reporting it as unexcused means that the child didn't get back to school with the note. Either the parent didn't write it or they wrote it and the kid lost it. But how do we know what the real number of intentional truancy on the part of the student is, when obviously looking at the elementary numbers, I'm thinking that all of those unexcused absences are parent forgot the note, kid lost the note, something like that. Then how do we know for middle and high school, how many of those are not actually intentional truancy?
I think the honest answer to that, we really don't. We're sort of at the mercy of the parents. We're at the mercy of the students to deliver the notes. You know, we are doing a much better job this year with our plan of basically communicating with parents the absences. Those that should be excused, that are marked unexcused, they have the opportunity to supply those notes. But, you know, at this point, I mean, it's our standard procedure is to mark an absence unexcused until we have something that demonstrates it should be marked excused.
And I would have no reason to believe that this is not the case, but it's important that in the elementary schools and then in the middle schools, and well, just across the board, that the way we're dealing with what is unexcused is being dealt with the same everywhere. I mean, that's critical. And I know we have a policy to deal with that, but and I'd hope that we are. I have no reason to believe we're not.
Right. We have had those conversations, and I'll be the first to admit we probably have not perfected that, but we're still discussing those in principals' meetings, because sometimes something will be excused at an elementary level, but it's not excused at a middle school level, vice versa. But we're continuing to have those discussions where we can get consistent across the system. And we're still working to overcome some practices from the past where certain absences were deemed to be excused that are no longer being deemed excused. So we're working, you know, just all working together to basically improve attendance so that students are missing less instructional time.
And you're right, consistency is the key, because there are circumstances that you have to deal with sometimes a little bit differently just by their nature. Anyone else? Financial report, comments or questions? Old business? New business? Communications, would remind everyone that the board will be paying a visit to Willowbrook Elementary tomorrow morning. Remind those in the audience and those watching that you have until Thursday at 6 p.m. to early vote. And then if you miss that, you've got Tuesday, November the 8th to early vote. If you haven't voted, please make the opportunity to do so. And on November 16th, Ms. Marshall will be hosting Focus on Education, and her guest is going to be Mr. McDonald, who will talk more about the AVID program. So we look forward to that. And finally, Friday night, Oak Ridge football team begins playoff hopes with the first round game against Walker Valley High School. Would remind those who are used to attending the football games that these games start at 7 p.m. and not 7:30. And with that being said, we're adjourned. Thank you for coming.